Oh, excuse me. Good God.
Oh,
Feeling better.
delicious. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 79 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your host, as always, tonight we have Desraven, Sin, and Kingsley. How are you guys doing?
Superb.
Super what?
Somebody superb.
Says. Oh, superb.
Oh, superb.
Yeah.
Not superbep.
Supercalifragilistic expialidocious.
I hear you. That's good to be superb.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm chilling, just ready, excited to have another podcast. And Dez, how are you doing?
I am magical.
Dez will be on another podcast coming out soon. It's not released yet as of when we're recording this, but please listen. As always, you should always be listening to Guardian Down. But if you happen to listen to this one first, go
oh,
back and check out his on
that's
Guardian
right.
Down.
He did record yesterday.
Yes.
I seriously wanted to sneak into the recording. And hopefully,
I think Gator limits it now. I see like 3 out of 3 for the channel.
yeah.
Of course he would. Of course
he would.
And it's potentially their longest running episode, just saying.
Ooh, nice.
Just saying.
All right. I'm going to be deleting that one. Too long. No,
I'll listen.
Like, I don't know what it's going to be, like, you know, edited down and such, but, oh, we went for a while.
Wow. That's intense.
Well, good times with good people. I mean, we're excited. I'm excited to listen to it.
Me too. It'll take me probably a whole week to listen to it in the car ride. But...
yeah, we were talking before the show on how we don't have time to listen to all the Destiny podcasts. And even with a few kind of closing up shop that were not talking about Destiny as much, but then they officially said, you know, they're kind of stopping. But even with a few of those going away, I was counting the list, and there's still about 23 that are pretty active. So, you know, ain't nobody got time for all of that, right?
Right.
Every single episode of every single one.
I do my best to try to keep up.
I mean, we're talking even at an average of an hour in the podcast. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So we really appreciate anyone who's listening to this one. I don't know why you're listening to us, but no, we really appreciate it. At least
probably
listening to us and our two
I know
friends.
Why they're listening to us tonight.
Oh, yes. Well, I know. So again, if you haven't read through the show notes and see the spoiler, but no, I'm just kidding. Usually, you know, by the time you're listening, we have a very special guest back for his second appearance.
And we're so not happy. A long-time listener, first-time caller?
Nope. Not a first time caller, a second time caller. I guess you could say that, Sin. We have Azanis. How are you doing tonight, man?
Pretty good. Sound quality is better this time, I hope.
Oh, you sound great.
I know, right?
Now recording from a car and no lightning. And what about Kitty? Where's Kitty?
The neighbors. So she'll ooh, probably try and interrupt us this time. But the only reason my sound quality was bad last time because I was like on a Bluetooth headset on my phone, and they're not the best. But this time I'm actually using my old gaming headset since it's got Bluetooth capability for the computer.
Nice.
Excellent. Hey, we're happy to have you back. And you've been on Guardian Down also, so making the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
he's been passed around a couple
it's
times.
Your fault that I was on Guardian Down, Kingsley.
My fault. I don't remember how that's my fault.
It. because Gator said he wanted to talk about Gambit, and apparently that's my reputation as the Gambit guy.
All right, it's like, what the crap?
Well, it must be ironic. That's ironic.
I'm not complaining.
You're not complaining. Okay, there you go. Good, good.
It's just, I think it's funny that that's what I'm getting known for.
Well, it's good to have a niche in the community, and I don't know. I mean,
at all. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. And I know other people are really good at Gambit, but your name comes to mind. I know you play a lot with Wicked. Shout out to Wicked. He's in our clan also. And I don't know if you have some other regulars that you often play with, but.
It's usually Fire and someone who recently joined called McAwesome.
McAwesome, yes. And we've seen him in the Discord recently also. So shout out to him also.
Nice.
He and me when I'm actually people on. To raid with, and I'm like, oh, don't worry, I can hook you up.
Yeah, we'll get some raids going, but no, we're mostly here to talk about Gambit tonight. We'll talk a little bit of some things that are in the news and whatnot. But boy, since we last had you on, what have you been doing in the game? I'm trying to remember if you were still working on all your
Triumph Gambit
stuff back then, or when you got all that stuff finished.
I don't think I was working on Reckoner back when I
probably already had it.
I was just messing around back then, just having fun playing the game. I think I was actively just working on getting Triumphant Invader for the emblem. And then when I finally got that, I was like, well, that wasn't so bad. Let's go get the rest of them. And then after that, got the title.
Nice. That one had to have been a pain to get, honestly.
It wasn't bad. Until I did the Reaper one, and it told me to get Massacre Medals, and I needed 12 of them. In which case, you need to kill, I think, 10 or 12 enemies within 3 seconds of each other, or it resets the timer, or the count. And it's like, oh, dear God.
But somehow you got it.
Yeah, I managed. It just took forever, and playing with people that weren't blueberries, mainly, so that they wouldn't try and kill steal. The
do you have a tip for that?
Don't play with blueberries.
Oh, yeah. And then what did you use? Like
Fire Team it up.
Risk Runner and Arc all the way so that you can just constantly throw a grenade down if you have to and become a Stormcaller whenever you want.
Yep.
The Collector one where it's Locksmith, that one's not bad. It's just a pain in the butt when blueberries are constantly trying to kill blockers with you even though you're wearing the set that's giant and yellow and obvious.
As if they know what that means.
Yeah, as long as you get the final blow on the last blocker, you get the Locksmith medal.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now those are basically triumphs that have like a bunch of items that you got to do in order to get Reckoner. Like where you have to get, there's like thousands of kills or so many medals, and you had to do that for each set, right?
Yep.
Sentry and. Gotcha.
Each role has its own set you have to do for triumphant stuff. And you have to get a triumphant version of each role to be able to get the title.
Now, if I would have really wanted to get that done, I probably should have started way back during the season of the Drifter. Because otherwise, I don't think I would have been able to do it. I don't know if I could do it now.
You could probably do it now if you were to hit it hardcore.
It'd be a lot of work.
But I don't have all the sets.
Oh, well, I could help you get that pretty quick.
So you think.
Trust me. Wicked and I have it down to a science with that well, because we will use each other's well to feed off of with the Phoenix Protocol. It doesn't matter whose well it is, as long as you're in a well, you gain super energy.
Nice.
Yes. Jeez. And I was watching you stream the other night, and yeah, you did have a good setup where when I was watching one of the times and you were behind a bit in this round and starting damage on the Primeval, and once whoever dropped the well, I forget who it was, and you guys just went to town. Yep. Had a very good strat and you almost won. Do you know which one I'm talking about? You were like that close.
I think so, yeah.
You're like, they were probably worried how quickly you guys caught up.
Well, was it regular Gambit or was it Prime?
Well, I don't remember what you were in. It might have been regular Gambit, but it was last Gambit night.
The best strategy is kill the envoys and then drop the well at his feet and then just have everyone use swords on him. If you have Fallen Guillotine, even better, because it just melts them. And
wait, you're supposed to kill the envoys? Just kidding. Blueberries, please listen to too. That.
This guy.
Yeah.
There is a triumph for managing to kill the primeval without killing the envoys, though.
Really?
Uh-huh. I can't remember what it's called, though.
And then you almost don't want blueberries either, because if they're trying to do their job,
they would go after the primeval.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did not know that. That's cool. I want to try that sometime. There are so many interesting triumphs. I know Sin, was I with you? I was with some people.
Bridge.
The bridge triumph in Reckoning, where you have to do no supers. You know, that one.
Yep. Ooh, it was me, you, Poop Shizzle, and the other guy from the Machinima.
Yeah. And we got in our second try. It wasn't too terribly bad these days.
No, not at all. You know, you just had to.
We did have to be on our toes.
Super focused. That's all it is. And we got it done.
Yeah. It was also Void Week in Grenadier, so it was. I feel like the Void part made it somewhat easier with some things. But we got it done.
What else have you been hunting for as far as triumphs? I just completed one on Titan. My last one for Titan, apparently, before it goes away. Getting all the bounties with Sloan. It gets me 12 out of 12 on Braytech now for that.
12 out of 12 for what? For bounties?
For the triumphs. For like triumph scores.
For the triumphs. Gotcha. Yeah. So just so you basically completed the planet, everything that needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Yeah, I did that recently too. Although the funny enough is the sleeper nodes aren't counted in that, or else I would not have it done. I'm still stuck at 38. No thanks to Bungie. Do you know what you're at, Sin, or anyone else?
What is it?
The sleeper nodes, I'm at 38 out of 40 still.
Oh, no, I haven't gone back and done that yet. I think I played around with that a little bit last week. I haven't done anything with it this week. And I've just been looking through. Apparently, there's a secret triumph on the EDZ that I don't have.
Gotta get on that.
No, I gotta figure out what that is now.
Huh. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Braytech doesn't tell me.
Interesting.
You been working on anything in the game, Des? Lately?
Not quite that game, but, I don't know. I haven't really done anything super specific. I don't know. I just log in every now and again anymore right now.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Do something kind small.
Trying to pace myself so I don't get burnt out before this extraordinarily long season ends.
For sure. Well, we have, and what?
I was about to say right now, what, 4 or 5?
It's getting closer, but yeah, we still have about a little over a month or something, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so right now I'm still kind of using the time getting other games in the catalog completed and occasionally adding games to that catalog.
And so what you're saying is never ends.
Yeah.
Never ends, ever. Mortal Kombat 11 was actually on sale recently, and I snagged that because I love the franchise, and it was a good deal for, like, everything. It's like $30.
Nice. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So that's been my prime thing as of recently, is going through and murdering people, essentially.
Man, I used to play the original as a kid on the coin-op.
Yeah.
Good times. I remember that back in the day.
It's come a long way.
Oh, I'm sure it has. I don't have any idea. I should look at it and see.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. I mean, considering in MK2, you had corpses that blew up into like 3 different torsos, 5 different skulls, a few femurs. I mean, it's... Yeah. This one is actually... as far as like finishes go, this one is probably like cream of the crop, like gore fest, to be honest. like there's a few that's rough to look at.
So they haven't packed away.
Oh no, not at all, ever. And that's weird because now they're at WB Studio, and they're still calling just as hard.
Oh man. No, but I do want to check it out at least see a YouTube video or something. See what it's all about these days.
Actually, about that, hilariously, YouTube's algorithm actually cracked down really hard on MK11 because for some reason, I guess the gore was just realistic enough for YouTube to, their automated labeling system was labeling it as real world violence.
Oh, ooh. Interesting.
So yeah, so people are getting like demonetized for MK11 videos. So yeah, that's hilarious.
So maybe you'll have to look somewhere else through Reddit or something else.
Oh, there's a few videos that like Maximilian, one of the fighting game guys I watch on YouTube, he would actually color tint, like whenever the blood and gore would start, he would like color shift it. Which sometimes would and sometimes wouldn't help the situation.
Okay.
So if you ever watch a video on YouTube and everything all of a sudden goes like blue or green or whatever, it's not the game necessarily.
What's going on?
Exactly.
Oh, that's
nice.
Sin, you've been doing some other games yourself, right?
I was getting ready to say,
yeah.
Yeah, speaking of other games, I did finish the casino expansion for Borderlands 3. And I have the one right before this new one that I need to finish yet. But apparently that one is not too bad. I guess it's good to do solo. It's more casual. So I'll try to get on that fairly soon to see if I can knock that out before getting into the new one. And what about X? Anything else besides Destiny?
Lately, no, but I have played a little bit of Elite Dangerous. Gone back definitely and forth with that a little bit.
Yeah, I heard that one. You like to play that one a lot.
It's my slow burn whenever I'm on a content drought in Destiny.
And I've seen you stream that. Yeah, and I was going to say, I've seen you stream that.
Dez played it for a while back, too.
Mm-hmm. He tracked me into it.
Next year, it's going to have it so that you can walk around on atmospheric planets as well.
Full-blown No Man's Sky.
We might lose Axe for a little while when that happens.
Yeah, you might. You're probably going to lose me for a while when Anthem does its reboot.
But that's not happening. I heard it wasn't, I thought it wasn't.
I'm sorry, I hate to laugh at that because it's...
I know.
It was... if not for the surge of games as service, which I believe that's the label that applies to these types of games, if not for that surge, I think... Because, I mean, even Destiny 1 had a really awful launch, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the faux pas with legendary engrams... Like, rarely, it was a 1% chance to get a legendary out of a legendary engram. The loot cave. I mean, there were lots of issues that Destiny could have just crashed and burned on. But I think because it came first, it got a lot of passes that a lot of these other games just... You know, everyone got sick of Destiny stuff, and all of a sudden it's over here, too. So it's like, nope, this game sucks. I'm just going to go back to this one. That's my theory, anyway.
That makes sense, yeah.
Luckily, I'm not a min-maxer, so Anthem was very fun to me the entire time I was playing. It's just I ran out of stuff to do, so I was like, all right, well, I guess unless somebody needs help, I'm done. So, I didn't have any problems with it. It's just when I ran out of stuff to do, I ran out of stuff to do, and there was no point in repeating it over and over again since I didn't bother min-maxing. But they're fixing all the problems that the community was mainly complaining about, like the loot and the end game activities and that sort of thing. So we'll see how it goes.
And any new content? Is there anything we have to pay to like re-up, or do you know
they
anything about it?
They haven't said anything about that one way or the other, but they've said that they've heard the complaints about it and that they understand that we don't want to have to pay for another update, so I don't think we're going to have to. Unless the only reason I can think of what we'd have to is if it comes out on the next generation.
Wait a minute, so you have to pay? I thought Anthem's big deal was the fact that they weren't going to charge for updates.
I don't think we're going to have to.
At least I thought that was their...
Yeah, that was the, when they first released the game, they said none of their downloadable content was going to be paid for. It was all going to be supported through the cosmetic microtransactions. So I don't, like I said, I don't think I'm going to have to. That'd be the only reason I could think of that they would have to, is if they have to make a generational leap. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I think they're probably fine.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I hope they can recover and basically pull out, pull a Division, to be honest.
A Division and a No Man's Sky and those sorts of games, yeah.
I mean, Division pulled really hard, which, I mean, it was a pretty fun game, but yeah, it had... It did have its fair share of issues as well, but Division was so sad because they improved it so much and it still got like such negative feedback. It wasn't until I think the last year before Division 2 that it finally started gaining traction again. And I'm just glad that Division 2 seems to have, you know, a good enough attention and attraction to still be going.
Nice. And I want to say you're right about it in timing too. Division 1 getting traction right before Division 2 released.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was listening to a lot of podcasts and that's about the time I started like listening. Like, you know, these Destiny people were like, hey, you should probably give Division a shot. You know, it's pretty good. I'm like, I've been saying that for like a year. But, yeah, like I said, I'm just glad it was able to finally get some kind of traction. Because as long as they're different, I don't see, like, the big deal with a bunch of, like, games of service type deal. As long as they're different enough. And Division was definitely, like, its own little niche with definitely being, like, more RPG-focused and third-person primarily anyway. And then Anthem seemed like a nice refreshing, like, breath of fresh air with how drastically they were going. And Avengers also seems to have that same cursed start, though. So
I still see a lot of people playing the Avengers, though.
I mean, at the very least, with Avengers has the somewhat safety net of being based on beloved Marvel characters.
True.
So a lot of people that are playing it right now are probably putting up with a lot of crap because they love the characters. Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was an X-Men game, I'd probably be playing it still myself, but it's more Avengers. I was more of an X-Men guy.
I need to try that game.
It looks fun, though. I mean, it does have some... Because it does have some notable like rough edges, but it does look good too. So
one day when I have enough time, I will try it out.
Oh yeah, well there is a lot out there as always. I'm gonna be finishing up Borderlands 3, and then I'm excited for this Halloween event in Destiny, and then boy, November rolls around and.
Oh God, Halloween.
Destiny drop.
Assassin's Creed lost.
Yes.
I'm going to be getting back into Destiny for Festival, though.
I will, because they have some cool looking loot this time. So even if it's the stupid forest again, I'll at least be hooked for a little bit.
I haven't seen what the stuff is for this event yet.
Oh my God, it looks amazing.
Yes. It's everyone kind of agrees. This is one of the better of all the years of D2 mm-hmm. for the Halloween event.
Better than the skeletons from last year?
Yes.
Well, those are pretty cool. No, this is better. Yeah, this is better.
This is better. Because I've seen the skeleton armor, but this is, like, I liked how they themed the skeleton, you know, with the whole, the Mexican, like, Day of the Dead theme to them, and they looked really cool, but this just blows it out of the water.
And all the emotes and other accessories. There's a really cool one, the Jacob Marley ghost with the chains. I'm definitely getting that for sure. So yeah, there's, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully there's some good news about the event being somewhat slightly different than just the Haunted Forest. But even if it is the same old, I will run it some because it'll give us something to do for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Give us some new masks too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Triangle ship mat? No, that'd be too weird.
I mean, that might actually have copyright issues with Pyramid Heads. Because legitimately, those triangle ships look like Pyramid Head's head.
Yeah. So
that might have some issues. You know, if Konami still cares about video games.
Well, while we're on the news topic, I wanted to talk about a couple other things, and then we're getting into our main topic of the night. We're going to talk about changes coming up with Gambit, with Azanis. But that's why we're so excited to have him. But one interesting piece of news for sure that came out this week is they gave us some more details on changes that they're making to the game upcoming, some really cool quality of life changes. And there's a lot of technical stuff you can say about it, but basically they're changing from host-based to physics-based. Is that, I had it pulled up.
Yeah, that was it.
Yep. But basically, long story short, TLDR, there's going to be some neat things we can do with this. For example, one example they gave is if you're in the tower and your friends are in the tower in a different instance, you can join them without having to go to orbit and coming back, like reloading into the tower.
Yeah, you actually literally just
join them.
Basically, like, yeah. Merge instances. I mean, instead of having to like reload entirely, yeah. Which sounds freaking amazing. I never understood that.
Yeah.
Like, you see a person in the wild, you invite them to your fire team, but you still have to go through a loading screen. I never got that.
Yeah. I mean, even with D2 getting a lot better than D1, you know, we didn't have to go to orbit first before we could pick a place. At least that was better, but we still have to, like, load. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So at least that will be going away. The idea is, I was watching, and a shout out to Gator. He posted a video where Glad was talking about it. He had a technical guy that came on, and a lot of this I really already understood, but I recommend you guys, everyone, watch this video. You can understand some of the possibilities of what can happen. But he said this is as close as we're getting to like dedicated servers without it officially being dedicated servers, because basically what's happening is all the AI in the game and all the interaction between us and the enemies, and also this can help with cheating too, with people trying to lag and go through walls or whatever, it'll be more controlled by the server. And because of that, we'll have better interaction with fighting the enemies, going to different instances. I can't explain all the possibilities, but it's just going to be a lot better quality of life with this new way that they're doing the physics engine. I do want to say that there is a couple other possibilities they said here. Let me pull up this post of what is possible. Okay. So, one thing though that they said in the post, and I was like, oh, because even Bungie said you may notice some bugs for, you know?
Oh, of course.
Of course, and that's fine. But Bungie's saying this, I don't know if we are to be a little scared, because, you know, even when they don't say anything and there's bugs in the game, now they're saying there may be bugs. Are we destined for a lot of bugs?
No, I think it's more, I don't think they've done anything different. I'm just thinking that they're like, the taboo of mentioning bugs might be kind of over. And so I think they might be trying the direction of actually warning people. It's like, hey, we've combed through this, but you know, we're not like millions of people. So, so you're probably going to find something that we can't or don't within the time constraint.
And that's fine, because obviously this will overall be a better system. It's probably one of the big reasons why the whole thing got pushed back by 2 months. You can say multiple things, COVID, whatever, but this is, you know, they're having to kind of redo the game. To be fair, in some aspects, I mean, they're having to make sure everything that is still around can work with this new interaction physics engine.
Yeah.
Of
Xbox Game Pass.
Yes. That's why, because of Xbox Games Pass.
Yep.
That's the only reason why.
Basically.
But yeah, we're gonna have some recoloring or reshading of, like, most notably they mentioned Nessus to kind of bring it up to par with the other planets. I didn't really notice what they're talking about there. I don't really notice Nessus being any different or worse than the other planets, but okay, that sounds good.
I think it might be with upcoming. There might be a more noticeable difference with Europa to, especially like the older ones.
Mm-hmm. But everyone kind of agrees this will really help a lot with public events. So right now, you know, we have to like endlessly spam back and forth fast travel points if we want to find enough people to play with, right? In an instance. But the idea now is that shouldn't really be happening anymore. It should just be easy to have a large group of people to play with in these public events.
I mean, potentially.
Potentially. And then also what this can really help with is even more of these ever-changing world events, right? Like another example that was given is the Dreaming City is hard-coded into the code in the game of switching every 3 weeks, right? If Destiny wanted, or Bungie wanted to change that, they have to push out a patch, right, to the game. But now they could potentially do this on the server side. The game would know what to do, and then it would just be easier to do these type of changes just on the fly.
So, yeah, they're adding more, I guess you would call, like, switch flipping fixes.
More wiggle room to work with from the sound of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like more things, yeah, more server-side fixes, which in the history tended to be all the quote-unquote good bugs always get patched the fastest.
Yeah. Well, they also mentioned that development, when they need to push out a change, it takes a full 24 hours for things to kind of go through the pipes. Now they can bring that down to about 12 hours. So, a lot of good things.
And I think they even mentioned like the fact that like even the enemy AI can expand a bit.
With bringing
enemy function into the physics engine. Like the physics engine has more knowledge of what's going on a grander scale than the mission physics of or the mission engine that the enemy's on now. Which means we're going to get screwed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, Des. Yeah, maybe some more overall crazy orchestrated fights. So like, oh boy, now what are we getting into?
Right. People wanted a harder game. Here you go.
Oh boy. But yeah, this is all really, really exciting news. It's stuff that, you know, you kind of was hoping and somewhat expecting to see. I mean, this was still rumored to be, if there was going to be a D3, it was probably going to be this fall, and we keep hoping and saying that this was going to be a bigger expansion. So, you know, this is exciting that they're adding some big things into the game.
Actually, didn't even the TWAB, like the I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but the TWAB, like who they had speaking in the TWAB, kind of even mentioned that they were going forward with the idea of like core game expansions, like sequel, and that's how Beyond Light kind of was, until they're like, let's hold off.
Yes.
So they kind of confirmed that, which I found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because they definitely didn't do that for Rise of Iron. That's rumored to have basically been the same situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting for someone to actually come out and say, yeah, we were kind of planning this to be a sequel, and then we're like, you know what, let's hold off. Let's make D2 work better before we try and go forward.
Exactly.
Which, I love that idea. Well,
I love it too. And I always thought I want, because I kind of loved the idea of when D2 did come around, I was like, okay, I can just start fresh. I don't have to worry about all my old crud of weapons and stuff, even though you miss stuff, right? You want to still have it. But I really liked starting fresh. But now I have a different opinion. I'm glad we're going forward with what we have, making it better, changing stuff in the game to new stuff that you could say is like a new game, like D3, but yet we still have our base amount of stuff. And things are getting sunset. We're getting new things, hopefully enough new things, but you know, we know we're getting this huge new location. We talked a little bit last week about Europa looks massive. So we'll just see everything that goes on with like the weapons and the armor and the other quality of life stuff. But I'm definitely on an excited upward trend right now. Like really looking forward to everything that's coming.
I'm just really stoked that we haven't gotten a crap ton of information before now. Because Bungie's kind of notorious for like really starting the hype train, what I feel is way too early.
Yeah, hasn't it typically been in like July-ish at the latest, I feel like?
Yeah, yeah, that's usually the latest they'll start a hype train. I think the D2 reveal was like spring when it came out, and that was like, what, a 7-8 month, I think, wait before that even released.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked that they're actually pacing themselves better.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so, so exciting. Everyone have their DLC purchased yet? I don't even think I have, but I know.
I wish.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
I, neither do I, but I mean, yeah, I got to get it at some point.
I still have time.
I got mine, but I got the collectors also, so I've had mine for a while.
Rich boy.
Either that or just spend way too much money. Either way.
You know, I get it.
Sin can buy mine.
I mean, I'm going to be getting it on three platforms, kind of. I mean, because I'm getting an Xbox now, although I'm doing Games Pass, so it'll be a little less upfront, but I got to keep the monthly thing going, you know? As long as I'm going to play there.
And I didn't get my Xbox, so still only one.
Still only one. Oh, you're not going to get it on PS4 this fall, Sin?
That's where I got the collectors. So.
Oh, that's where you got the collectors.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course, you'll buy at least some version on PC.
Correct.
Yeah,
I'll probably wait till it's actually out to get it. Then at that point,
for sure. Oh, what's also interesting? Shoot, I forgot to do my homework. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, Des, but they talked about the game size is going to be, and we're going to have to re-download the whole game.
Yes, the entire thing.
Yeah, because of the changes to the engine or something. Where the physics to
yep. From. Be careful saying that engine word. Data's lurking.
No, not new engine entirely, but they're like modifying it.
Well, even that, they're not saying exactly that's the reason why. Of course, it makes sense as honest. That's probably one of the bigger. There's probably multiple reasons, in my opinion.
I mean, that and they're rooting out a lot of like dead end code of things that just don't exist. Basically, they're taking out the garbage and giving us a fresh.
Exactly.
Install.
Even with like the new physics, the updated physics engine changes, even with like changing some color code and Nessus, it just makes sense to start over fresh because this way, the way I imagine too with the new physics engine is they have to probably change a lot of code in all the planets and locations to have this new interaction model. And also, I know this may sound silly, but like this is really still truly like 100% they can wash their hands of like Activision and Vicarious Visions, everyone that's helped them so far up until this point, and just do their own thing, a whole new fresh download. You know, they've probably optimized some code, did some compression. And what's the number again? Let's see if I have this pulled up. I mean, we know we're losing some planets, so it makes sense it would go down, but it's pretty amazing, even with adding the new huge location. We are looking at.
Let's I forget see. The exact numbers, but I know they said it's a reduction from like 40 to 50% of overall size.
I remember hearing about 40% is getting taken out.
Okay, the install size now, you know, download can even be a little smaller than this because there's some unpacking, but the install size will shrink to between 59 and 71 gigs,
which. Is what the 71 is like 10 more gigs than D2 base was, I believe. Because I think D2 base was like or was it 40 gigs at base?
Oh, I don't remember anymore.
And then apparently neither do I. it was either 40 or 60, like for D2 at base. So considering we're only getting like 50 to 70. like full size now? That's something. Like I said, considering they're throwing in like a massive location, but is kind of being offset by taking out locations and activities and getting rid of like I said, old junk files that just don't need to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all exciting news for sure. Of course, the big discussion we don't have to go into tonight is, it does this count as a new engine or updated engine? I mean, everyone knows my opinion on it. In a way, here's the thing. We're just all friends. It doesn't matter. We are getting some big changes either way. But I think that's why I was always pretty confident, because of my technical understanding of how engines worked, that we were never going to be getting a new engine.
It's just tuned a little differently.
Yes, yes. I
mean, you can use World of Warcraft as an example. They've had the same engine for how long? And they just keep updating it?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Same thing with Bungie.
Yeah, that's exactly. The
thing. No game really changes engines. It's very rare to do that unless you're making a whole new thing. Now, it's not to say you even need to in some cases. If you can spend the time to update your engine and make it good, then, and if it's changed along the years, I guess you could say conceptually that's the same thing as a new engine. Technically, it's not, because it's built off of this code, like we're using the Tiger engine. But nonetheless, we're adding a lot of good things to the game that I'm really happy. You know, Bungie said they needed to fix a lot of technical debt, and they're finally doing this. They're, you know, making some good changes.
I mean, that, and you say people don't change engines a lot, but Epic Games would like to have a word with you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, Epic.
Considering they've been making Unreal Engine, and they're still making the fifth iteration, which looks gorgeous. I just wish every game would actually use that engine, because just from the tech demo side, mm-hmm. It was amazing. So much potential there. So much potential.
Exactly. And you can still, okay, so even with the same engine, if you make some modifications to the graphics code, the DirectX API, you can get around a lot of the, to make things look better, even ray tracing. But you're right, it can be easier if you're on a newer engine too. That's probably one of the bigger reasons to get a new engine, is because you're starting with something that's maybe easier to work with. But it is quite the task to make a game change to a new engine, and not usually worth it if you just have so much.
I don't know. Square Enix definitely found it worth it, considering
that's a company. Takes so long, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, that, and that's a company that had their own engine. Like, they had it made. I forget. I forget what they call it now. But anyway, they made one game with it. And when it came time around to develop for Final Fantasy VII Remake, they completely abandoned it and used Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah, well.
So it's like, wait, what?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
It happens. It happens for sure. And those are some good examples. Thanks for bringing that up. It's just such an interesting thing, you know, how. And you could say that was a smart decision, because it's always painful to, I see this, I don't need to get off on a long tangent, like when I'm helping people consult with their network and their IT infrastructure, it's the same thing. It's like, well, we could rip everything out, maybe get you in a better spot, but that's going to be so much more painful at first. So do we want to do this piecemeal approach where we just update what we have slowly and then update this, and maybe in like a year or two, it's as if everything's new, right? Or we just rip off now, give you a new network that might be, you know, 20% better a year from now than this other method, but it would cost more and be painful for all the users. So it's always one of those, you got to decide which way is better.
Yep, it's a give and take, and Bungie has decided to piecemeal their engine since ODST, so
yes. Well, and there is a post that a developer talks about that, and they say they probably won't ever change the engine, but they likely would on their new IP, their new game or whatever that comes out.
Yeah. So
we'll see whatever that will be.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that exists.
I know, right? Bungie's going to have another game.
It's like it keeps getting mentioned. I'm like, wait, new IP? Oh, yeah. That mystery game that Tencent invested in. Oh God.
All right. Well, good discussion. Let's get to our main topic for this evening. We wanted to bring Azanis on and talk about some of the changes coming up with Gambit. I mean, I basically understand them, but I want to get Azanis's opinion and maybe some more details of how he thinks they will play. I do have one question that I'm a little bit confused about. And so since he is the Gambit expert in our group, very, very happy to have him on. So this was in the TWAB a couple weeks ago. And they talk about Gambit, and we know that it's being merged into a single mode. Did they confirm? Yeah, it's just still going to be called just Gambit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure, because it's just called Gambit, but they're kind of taking things from both sides. But I'll just maybe go down the list real quick, and then I have some questions or whatever comments Azanis can give. But, well, I guess one thing that they don't mention here, but we already knew, is they're taking away the armor and the mods that go with that.
Boo! So,
I know. And Dez,
well, thank you, Dez, on that one.
It's garbage.
They've managed. It kind of sucks that they're going to be taking it, making my armor set useless now that I have all four of them. But if they can like make an extra slot on the new Gambit armor, like kind of like the seasonal mod slots, but make it Gambit mod slots, then I can see how that'd be all right.
Yeah, that'd be fine, whatever.
But they aren't right away. Do you think hopefully they'll do something within the next couple seasons?
I'm hoping, because that's half the point of Prime is, the whole point of Prime is, in my opinion, is having those armors for the extra bits. Otherwise, it's just Gambit with different order of events.
Exactly. I mean, they gave it like a tactical thing, and now they're taking it away.
Granted, most people that play Gambit Prime don't do the tactical thing, because I hardly ever see the Gambit Prime armor, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, that, and if you actually have a team of, like, people, you know, you actually go in with a group, and, like, you know, everyone's, like, armored out, and you have your strategy, you're going to stomp Blueberry, like, any opposing team in Prime.
Yeah, I mean, I still want to go in with four collectors and bank 60 motes all at once.
That's bad. You're evil.
Well, they said they wanted to build a more, quote, approachable Gambit Prime, and some of these changes, I'm like, yes, hallelujah, because I hated how the Primeval phase went with the boss. That was the biggest reason I didn't like Gambit Prime, and it looks like they're changing a lot of that, at least in my opinion. I like this, but let's just start off with, they're going to rebalance the motes phase to last about 2/3 of each match rather than half the match. Now, I didn't even realize the motes phase was lasting half the match, but I guess that's because the Primeval phase takes so long. Is that probably why?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem to, the Primeval phase in Prime seems to drag on much longer than just half.
It's literally because your damage goes in phases rather than being able to do it all at once.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I was thinking too. So, they kind of confirm that in the next point. They say they're going to speed up the Primeval fight compared to how Gambit Prime is right now to give it more of a feeling of a boss rush. I mean, that is probably one of the biggest things I enjoy of Gambit or Gambit Prime once we finally get to third phase or whatever, and you can melt the boss as long as you've taken care of your envoys, as long as you know what you're doing, you have a good setup with your team, why not be able to melt the boss quickly? I hate this whole, like, go back and forth, oh, we can only bring the boss down a third of the way, and people are going to be invading and doing this and everything, and I don't know. Yeah. I get it, because you want to have catch-up, but it's just such a fine point of, like, how much of this catch-up do you want versus if you have a coordinated effort melting the boss. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've always just loved melting bosses.
Yeah. That also plays into strategic of don't kill the third envoy, because you got to wait for them to invade. And then once after they invade and they're dead, then kill the third envoy. So you can have all three of you going after it.
For sure. Yeah. So they wanted to just work on those encounters, and they said with the Reaper buffs, the large bosses that came in, the enemy waves were too tanky.
No, so they weren't if you had a Reaper. That was the thing, though. Nobody ever
that's
ran.
That's good. So tell me about it. Yep.
Because when we originally thought, all right, the yellow bars were super heavy. But then when we started working on Reaper and we were marking those yellow bars, they would go down like they were an orange bar, essentially. It was easy. But sure. You had to have a Reaper mark.
You have to have the Reaper. And I guess what they're saying is, yeah, since they're taking these buffs, since they're taking Reaper away, they had to unfortunately change this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't have to, but anyways.
Because, yeah, I was fully in agreement that the yellow bars had too much health originally until I ran Reaper and I was marking them and they were just nothing. And I was like, oh.
They want us to use the armor. Essentially, I mean,
I thought originally the yellow bars were just catch-up mechanics to give you more orbs since they drop so freaking many.
Yeah. Well, they said the pacing should feel like how Gambit feels for a pickup group or how Prime feels for a fully kitted team. Okay. They did test bringing the motes phase up to 150 and or having a heavier moat drain, but this allowed for more steamrolling, not less. Mm-hmm. So they pulled back to the current Gambit Prime moat target and drain. I think this is probably a good idea. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, part of the problem a lot of people had with Gambit was that it would drag on and take so long to get all the moats banked. So I can understand if they decided to keep it at 75 for the total instead of the 100 you need in Prime.
Yeah,
I think 75 seems like, I think we can kind of agree that just seems like a right amount. I mean, maybe that could be played with a little bit, but going to 150 would just, I don't know, just seems like.
Because you're still getting the same number of invasions on the way up to the final amount. So that doesn't get affected any. It's just a matter of how many modes do you need in between those two sets of invasions.
Mm-hmm. All right, next they started with the Gambit Prime blockers, but pulled the Taken Captain from the blocker lineup as he provided a little too potent for the 10-mote blocker, right?
Right?
Oh, although, to be fair, the phalanxes on when Gambit first came out were terrible, too. I would purposely just bank 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 back then, too, just because of those giant-ass shields.
I mean, yeah, basically, they changed the blockers, but the strategy stayed the same. Most effectively, bank 10, maybe a 15, but primarily 10.
The whole point of the 15 was literally just because of how much HP it had compared to the 10.
Yeah.
Right? And then maybe a couple fives to get a couple goblins in there to shield them. So that was just...
Oh, dude, that was great in Prime. There was one match where I took Hazel's strategy. They were at Primeval, and we just banked 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, and they were just covered in goblins.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, I think,
and
yeah,
we Phalanx ended up winning that.
You know, that's crazy with all goblins. Phalanx will still be, like, enough to deal with, but, I don't know. The Phalanx is if you hit them from the right side and know how to stay away from their push attack, I feel like they're definitely not as lethal.
Yeah, it's just the harder to get a shot on them because they can give themselves invulnerability with that shield.
So, again, since they don't have the armor perks, they will remove the 20 mote giant blocker, which very
is
rarely
so disappointing because I loved having a strike boss for a blocker.
I bet. Did you place that a lot yourself?
Oh, you have to for part of the Triumphant Collector.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think you have to place 20 of them total.
Okay. Well, again, I don't play Gambit Prime enough these days. I used to play it a lot when it first came out.
Give me a second. Since I'm just messing around, I can tell you exactly how many you need for Triumphant Collector.
While we're looking at that, they kept the invisions during moat phase at 3, just like Gambit Prime, but pulled back the minimum time between the invasions from 10 seconds to 20 seconds. It never feels good to get invaded back to back. Yes, thank you. I don't know how you feel about that, guys, but I didn't like getting invaded back to back. 10 seconds is like, come on. I don't know
how many you need because I have the metal, but I have made 82 giant blockers.
Oh. Yep, I'd say you like the giant blockers. And also, thank goodness on the evasion break, because good God, in any Gambit, that can be a freaking hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Invaders down! Yay! You're being invaded.
Yeah, balls. I always made sure that I would help out my side with getting rid of the invader if my team didn't have, like, the better PvP skills. But if they could handle themselves, then I'd go ahead and invade without worrying about it too much. But yeah, as an invader, I would always make sure that if I wasn't invading, I would either be helping out with the sentry or killing the enemy invaders.
Now, I do wonder if that invasion timer will also apply during primeval phase.
That's what I was just thinking. I hope. Because the 10-second strain then was just as bad, if not more annoying.
Is that right? Because then, yeah, I mean, there was no, like, timing it. Like, oh. Yeah. Like I said, hopefully that'll apply there, which will actually give the give the pressure of invasions actually mattering.
Yes. Yeah. Invasion is fine, but they need to matter more than rather than just be an annoyance every 10 seconds.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you got some like blueberries or whatever that'll rush the gate like whenever it's available. And if you're on the other team and, you know, they suck at invading.
Oh, God. That like already
it's just an annoyance. Mm-hmm. You're having to stop what you do. You track him down. He dies easily. Okay. Focus back on the boss. Well, no, here's someone else. So, yeah. But like I said, if it actually matters, and like if a bad invasion can actually screw your team, maybe people will pay attention to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see on that.
They probably still won't, though. Let's keep it on. They won't.
They'll be oh, I got this. I'm amazing. And then die.
Jeez.
That's why I never invade. Past getting dredged in, I have not invaded since.
That is why I actively go after the highest moat on the enemy side, and I don't even worry about getting the other kills unless I actually get the kill off the first guy and manage to keep going. So, yeah, I'll get plenty of army of ones, but that highest guy, the moat carrying the most moats, he's definitely the number one target. I don't bother going after the other guys unless they are literally on my way to him.
Yeah. Yep, and you love using the void sword. I was watching Black in the Talon? Stream. Black Talon, it works well for you.
Oh,
that's
people don't expect that, right?
Because you can have so much of it. And it's a ranged or a melee weapon. And I just recently saw a video where you can block some supers with it.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to copy you, but don't take it as like I'm copying you. I'm looking up to your strat and gambit. So
I mean,
try Black Talon and
my other strat is always 1K because you can snipe with that thing and you don't have to be accurate. You just got to get the general vicinity with those explosions.
Oh yeah, yeah. 1K is amazing. I forget how good I did.
I either run Void with Blink and Black Talon, or I'll run Dawnblade with 1K.
I haven't used 1K in a hot minute, but I got killed a lot with it in Gambit, so yeah. I can imagine.
Okay, I'm excited about the Primeval fight. So what we have going on is they removed the timed Slayer buffs, and they've increased the
Primeval Slayer ones?
No, they removed the timed Slayer buffs, but increased the primeval health and potency of the Slayer buff when killing the envoys.
Okay.
So the timed ones are gone, but the envoy ones are there. And overall, the primeval has more health. Also, they're going to respawn the envoys every 40% damage done to the primeval. So if you're getting invaded a lot and the primeval keeps getting his health back up because you're getting killed, this is like a catch up. You have the opportunity to kill more envoys, get more buffs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Yeah. So you could be doing damage. You take down the two envoys, of course, you should always do damage on the boss. However much you get them down at 40%, two more envoys will show up. You don't necessarily have to take out the next two. You probably should either way. But especially if you're behind, you can take down those next two and get some more buffs. And
so it's kind of like how the multiple envoys will spawn in prime, but they're not required to be killed to be able to do damage to the boss.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I like that because that is like, all right, this is a pain. And they know we're not on a damage phase, so they're going to be trying to keep us off the envoys. But if we can keep damaging either way, then you can go on whichever strategy is better for what you're having to work with when there is an invasion on the side. So if like, if you're close to the boss and they're far out, you can keep damaging the primeval, but if they're getting in close to that primeval, you can go after envoys instead.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're not all right there on the bank and they're scattered about like they are in prime.
Yeah. And what's really exciting about this is, so this final length for the primeval fight, this new mode will be somewhere in between kind of what original Gambit and Gambit Prime is right now. So we adjusted invasion timer. Oh, they do say they adjusted the invasion timer during the primeval match phase. So right in between Gambit and Gambit Prime timing. So I don't know if that specifically means 20 seconds or they didn't say 20 seconds.
All right. That's, I don't know. That can be iffy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely going to be good to get rid of the, because you had like part of the primeval slayer that was like, because the timed ones were just catch-up mechanic anyway. Like if you were behind, but giving it all to basically more attention to the primevals, I think will be highly beneficial.
So they say that overall this mode will be a little quicker than Gambit Prime, mostly due to shortening of the boss phase and the removal of the larger bosses from the fronts, but one that still gives you a great Gambit feeling that you all love. I mean, this seems like a plus for someone like me that isn't hopping in all the time and wasn't always happy with Gambit Prime. So I'm excited to hop in and check this out, Zonis. I mean, I know we kind of talked about all these points, but you had some ideas back of how you would make it better, but does this kind of like, you know, I have to give us all the details, but how does this match up? Are you generally overall happy or have concerns or anything like that?
My biggest concern will be when they decide to bring back the mods for Gambit Prime. I kind of hope that they will put those on the old Prime armor mods just so I can use my set again, because I'll bust my butt to get these sets. I don't want them to be wasted. But I can understand why people don't want the matches to last as long as they do. That's perfectly fine by me, as long as they have the same style and it's the same way to be worked with through when you do play, because that's the whole point of Gambit, is to play it the way it is played. It's a PV versus player versus environment versus player, because most of my people that I play with are PVE players and I'm the PVP main, so it's the one mode that lets us kind of mesh together our both of our play styles and work as a team, and we can both play to our strengths.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know you like the armor and the mods. I mean, unfortunately, Bungie's done stuff like that before where they get rid of stuff that people have spent a lot of time on. So, but at least there is hope that they say they do want to consider bringing it back in some aspect.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see when this comes out, how it plays out. But yeah, I was just excited to kind of talk about this some more. Sin, you ready to hop in day one before we run the campaign? Yeah, right. I'm going to run the campaign first.
Always a campaign first.
Well, yeah.
The debate of whether or not I'll be working.
You say that, but I see people all the time, and they're, I guess, they're the PvP people that just want to like level up really quick. I see people on my friends list that even when the new DLC comes out, they're doing just Crucible a bunch even before the campaign.
It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, me too.
I played Trials right before hopping into recording tonight. And yeah, no.
I still need to get a regular Trials team together. Cause it's so much fun, even though I'm so terrible at it.
Exactly. I mean, it's, I don't mind doing it, but there's like a limit on how much I'll do. Just because I'm not good at it. And at some point, it's... I feel like it's, my time is not well spent.
Yeah, I get that. That's why I feel like that even before I start. But no, I should really, I mean, even hop in a couple
matches. How I am in Gambit, because I've done everything and I can't get anything else from it. But so it's literally just for the fun of it every time I do play it.
Well, if you're having fun, then it's definitely time well spent. Yep.
Yeah, because I'm not doing it for loot or anything like that anymore, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like me with the raids. Yeah. I mean, I guess there's a couple small things here and there, unique things I haven't gotten, but just doing it for fun. All right. Any other comments on Gambit? Otherwise, we can finish up that part of the discussion.
Not that I know of for sure. Unless you have questions about strategies or whatever.
Well, no. In fact, I only think I need to do a couple more prime bounties for a triumph.
What
triumph tracking?
Which triumphs are you trying to get?
I think there's one you have to get like so many of the weekly prime ones. And I can't remember. I want to say about, I mean, like 8 or 9 of 10 or something like that. So let me look at it. Triumph and Gambit.
I mean, I do have a question. Maybe in the meantime, what is it? Probably is the method you were doing, but I remember the quickest method before for melting was a lot of void. You would tractor cannon, maybe a tether, Nova bombs, crazy, all this stuff. But is the quickest method now just dropping the well and swords on the Primulus?
For regular Gambit, heck yes. I mean, if you can drop a tether on it and a well at the same time, because that's a debuff plus a buff to you on top of all the damage you're doing to the swords, I imagine that'd be even more. But we haven't had my team hasn't had a hunter that runs tether in a while. If you're on the third round, it's still Dez's favorite shards of Galanor with a blade barrage at all times. And as many of those as you can get just because of the regen.
What, I think I counted up to 15 one game?
Yeah.
I hopped into Gambit the other day and was using, you know, the strat, especially if you're wearing Skull of Dara, and, you know, back when supers were just regening like crazy.
Oh, I loved it when I'd get instant super back. Yeah.
So I would always drop a Nova at the very beginning. I would use one just to try to, I would hope I'd get both of the envoys out with one Nova bomb, mm-hmm. and then even a little bit of damage, and no worries because I'd get my Nova bomb quick. But I was kind of trying that strat again. At the beginning of the primal phase, I'm like, oh, what the hell? I'll just drop a Nova Bomb right away. And then I was noticing I got my Nova Bomb back much quicker than I thought I would have. I don't know if it was just coincidental. There was a lot of orbs on the ground from other players, but I got 2 to 3 Novas out within the primal fight, and it was kind of fun again doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. It's still a usable strategy. It's just not as good as it used to be because of the diminishing returns that they have on it now.
Mm-hmm. I just don't kind of get bored of the whole sword thing now. I like to be a contrarian that way. I love swords, but I mean, yeah, you can do the whole last wish raid sword on every encounter. I'm like, it's boring to me. You know, I like to mix it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, sword's my favorite weapon. I mean, it's the best weapon I have in PvP for performance.
But Black Talon's different. That is like mixing it. That's not like just the stand there swipe thing, like what I'm talking
right,
about.
Right, but even before Black Talon was a thing, I was always running a Worldline Zero as soon as it came out.
Yep. Yeah. I hear you.
Do you have your Worldline Catalyst?
Yes, I do. I love it.
I just got mine last week.
Nice.
I remember I actually managed, back when Trials of the Nine was still a thing, I managed to wipe a whole team using Worldline Zero with the sword and blink.
Nice.
Because they just weren't expecting me to be there that quickly.
And that was when Blink was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I actually haven't used it since I masterworked it. I'm still too busy trying to get other catalysts and other bounties and triumphs.
My highest KD, I think, was an 8.0 with a sword back before shotguns were taken out of heavy-only slots.
Yeah.
Because nobody ran shotguns, so I didn't have to worry about anything with my sword being in close range. I just, okay, you're out of range, dash.
Yep. Yeah, that was the big strong point for swords in D2. It's the fact that shotguns had become so limited. And as I had learned in D1 when they introduced swords, good counter for a sword.
Shotgun.
Shotgun to the face.
Because they have just enough range to get to where they are guaranteed to have their instant kill because you have to be within that range. And if you can kill a mid-swing or shoot at a mid-swing, they're guaranteed to die and you're fine.
Yep. That's the exact lesson I learned in D1, is I had so many people like rushing up to sword, they would still have to go through animation. But thank God my reflexes in that moment actually worked. I'd pull the trigger and just, boom. Oh, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm alive.
And that's why I use Bullcaster.
Cool. Yeah.
I was surprised I actually didn't go to the caster frames when they came out so I could run a new exotic, but I'm in the air too often with my blink to take off Talon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of disappointing to find out that you can't toss in air.
Yeah, they literally just work exactly like the D1 swords did for the exotics. So, I mean, they're fun and all, and I love the storm effect that it has at the end for the air effect or whatever you want to call it. But the fact that I can't use it in the air just kills it for me.
They are fun though.
Oh yeah.
Like for those, if you're like more rooted, like caster frame can actually, it tracks really good.
Oh yes, it does.
I mean, it checks way.
Thing aimed, be aimed down, and then angle its way up in like a freaking frisbee or a boomerang.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous because I mean, Boltcaster definitely did not have that level of tracking. But I guess since A, it's a smaller disc and everything, it can be, like I said, very surprising.
I do like how swords have cleave on every single one now, though.
Yeah, that is fun.
Extra adds that I don't expect.
It'll be exciting to see what we come up with new weapons wise, or maybe not even new weapon, but like, you know, a new type of sword or something. We will see.
Yeah, I mean, because with caster and vortex frames, I mean, we essentially have the D1 swords back.
We've had, because we even have the Rise of Iron sword came before the caster frames in them with a crown splitter.
Yeah, because that has the slam and then also basically defaulted to
Dez got quiet.
I know, real quiet on me.
Me too. While we're waiting on that, I wonder what, just tell us when you're back, Dez. I wonder what, do you think they're going to have an auto rifle again for the Halloween event? They always have done that the last couple of years. It'd be kind of cool if they do something different.
I wonder if they might give us a, because there's a sword from the moon, right? Then it's called Night Terror, if I remember right. It looks almost like a sickle or a scythe. It'd be kind of nice if they gave us something kind of like that. Yeah. Where,
oh, that'd be sweet.
The weapon, it's the sword archetype or whatever, but it looks like a scythe so that people can dress up like death to try and fit the whole skeleton theme.
Yeah. Sin, we can still hear you, right?
Yeah, you can still hear me.
Okay, good, good.
Trying to think of what other Halloween weapons, quote unquote, there could be.
I don't know, but hopefully they come out with something more than just an auto rifle. Personal opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, we have plenty of auto rifles, Gnawing Hunger. You know, you have the hard lights. I don't know. I don't really know what I would be looking for out of the event, but maybe another exotic or something like that, something very unique.
Ooh, a Halloween exotic? That'd be interesting.
Yeah. One, you wouldn't think you would normally get it. Two, it could offer some variety.
And are you back?
I should be.
You are.
Yay. There we go. Hopefully that doesn't mess with anything.
It's all good. We're that professionals was here. We don't mind.
Highly professional.
Highly professional.
So yeah.
If you had a comment you were finishing, I don't remember, Des. I'm sorry.
To be honest, neither do I now.
But hey, you're back.
I remember I was going somewhere with something I said, and yeah, it's gone now. you know, they say that you lose three things when you start getting older. First is your memory. I can't remember the other two.
You had a thought and you let it go.
Right. But no, I do agree with the fact. I kind of hope it's not an auto rifle at Festival of Lost this year. Gotcha. I mean, I love auto rifles, and I like what they've done with what they've brought in, but we could use a little variety.
Truth, for sure. Well, that is only a week away, and most people know we have Iron Banner coming this week, and then one more week till the Halloween event. So
it's closer than you think.
Comes out, yeah, we are getting close.
Say, well, hey, another Iron Banner in case you still don't have the bow.
Yeah. Another Iron Banner for me to mostly ignore.
Yeah.
Right?
The only bow that I don't have is the Last Wish one from the Vault Encounter.
Mm.
What's that one called again? I think I bet
Tyranny
I have it.
Of Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I have that one.
And around it so much, I'd be surprised if I don't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think someone was telling me once that that like comes curated.
It's always like, dropped curated for me. I don't know if it's guaranteed or not, but
yeah, and I think someone, because it had dropped in like once for my encounters and it was curated. And
is it a kinetic or a secondary bow?
I wanted to say it's energy.
Energy, I mean, yeah.
Because I believe it's solar.
It's energy. It's solar. I'm looking at it right now.
Nice. Memory hasn't quite fully failed me. I had it for a while, but then I had to sacrifice a curated weapon to get the Last Wish curated shader. So it ended up being Tyranny of Heaven.
Oh, so it can prime. That's I always forget. So yeah, it takes primary ammo.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, it's primary ammo. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah, I have
both primaries.
The only one I don't have.
I don't think there's any bow that isn't primary except for Leviathan.
I know. Yeah. I forget because yeah, I just don't run bows. What's the point of the stag from? That's the only one I don't have.
Iron Banner.
Yeah.
Oh, duh.
It's it's the pinnacle weapon for this season, basically.
Oh, jeez.
The Iron Banner. Yeah, you run the Iron Banner quest line. Which is a very, I really liked the Iron Banner quest line. Because, like, you do a step and it's like, oh, get kills with this. And they actually give you the weapon.
Yeah.
To mm-hmm. get kills with. And it's like, oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, I know it won't be too bad. Maybe I'll actually work on it. I think it was on hand cannon or something. I forget where I was at on it. I've done it a little bit.
Just put on that last word. Get all your hand cannon kills.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Especially with those hipfire buffs they gave a while back. Oh my god. It was such a nasty
pain in the butt to get, though.
What, last word?
Yeah, with the last encounter where you have to kill the guy and or shoot the guy in the hand cannon.
So everyone's saying that, but I actually... Oh, yeah, I was worried, too, when I first started that. I'm like, oh, you must have to be a PvP sweat lord to get this done. But I somehow got it done, not too hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I actually failed an encounter, actually. And I was worried about much the same.
Drop my sensitivity down to, like, almost zilch to be able to manage it. Because I kept overturning.
Mm.
Weird.
Mine was probably lower back then.
I was about to say, because I normally run, like, 4 or 5 myself.
I'm like 8 or 7, I think.
Well, I'm more like higher sensitivities give you, or they're better for certain things, but lower sensitivities help with your precision shots. And I'm definitely more about making my shot count than
I'm at 7. Because, well, I'm usually wanting to spin that camera around to make sure my sword hits, so that's probably why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all in different playstyles, because you're definitely more... gung-ho than I am?
Yeah.
Just trying to find a nice way to say it?
Wicked says I'm the exact opposite of a playstyle for him. I play my warlock like a titan.
Hey, if it works.
Yeah.
Especially with the blink, yeah, you're right up on them, you know. They don't expect it.
It just doesn't work out too well in trials. And usually it means I die so my allies can get the kill.
Exactly. But, yeah, he might say that, but then again, Ikora's signature weapon was a shotgun, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as we're getting closer to the end here, I do think that you get the special question that only second time comers on the show get, Azanis.
Uh-oh.
It's not that interesting, sorry. What's your favorite drink?
Stop me on my dessert question last time. Sunkissed, that's easy.
There you go. That was easy.
Man, that was quick. This is not
I know, right?
You did not need to answer it within 2 seconds.
Okay, now I got to think of something else. The listeners are like, well, that was anticlimactic.
Right? It's like every time we ask one of those questions, it's kind of like,
Sunkissed it is.
I mean, you didn't specify if I had to be alcoholic or not, so that made it easy.
See, well, okay, I guess it did. So if a lot of people would be more like, oh, are you talking about adult privilege? What do I like?
Exactly.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big drinker, so the fact that you didn't specify made it easy.
Hey, that works. I'm proud of you for having such a definitive
strong
answer.
Will.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's not like strong will. It's just I'm more of a social drinker than I am a just drink for the sake of drinking or sake.
Right.
Because I don't enjoy feeling like I'm gonna be sick. So if I get drunk, all right, at that point I'm done. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm just gonna let myself sober up, and then if I'm sober, then we can drink some more. But once I'm drunk, I'm good. I don't need to drink anymore.
Have you ever mixed Sunkissed with anything?
The one time I tried, it was terrible.
I can imagine. I don't know, unless you're doing some kind
of
Mai
Tai
or rum.
It wasn't me
thing.
That tried it. I was at work and one of the temps came in and I thought it was mine because I was the only one to ever bring in 1 liters of Sunkissed. I drank it and I thought it was bad. I thought it had spoiled or something. So I just dumped it down the drain. And then the next break, someone came in. Hey, has anyone seen my Sunkissed? I was like, yeah, I think yours was the one that I dumped because it tasted like shit. And he's like, oh, that's because there was some a little extra in there. And I was like, oh, well, you shouldn't have that at work anyway. So you're welcome.
Tasted like that.
Little extra.
Sunkissed
little extra.
Apparently he had mixed it with some kind of vodka. So if you're going to mix it, at least don't mix it with that.
Yeah, you can't cheap out on it.
Right, go Everclear.
I haven't tried Everclear yet. I need to do that.
Might be probably not a good idea.
It's legitimately not a good idea.
Never mind.
Everclear is a good idea.
I mean, yeah, Everclear is like pure grain alcohol. It's we're talking about strong.
As in, you could probably stick it in your gas tank and run your car off of it, huh?
Yep. Potentially.
More than likely.
Yeah. There are some engines that will probably run Everclear, no problem.
Destiny's Tiger engine.
Now, I said the engine, not the people using the engine.
So here's the thing. I have to admit, to be fair, because you know, I always give Gator a hard time on the engine talk. I had a prediction that they would likely come out with a new engine next fall for the new consoles. If this AMA Reddit post is correct, they said they'll never come out with a new engine. Yep. So I'll have to say I lost that bet.
I still think the greatest potential we'll have to an actual entirely brand new engine is the next installment.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Once they actually feel confident enough to move on from Destiny 2, that might be the time.
Yeah, things could still change.
Still we'll 3 years see. Away from that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm saying, because they're not going to change engines with a previous console generation being supported. I mean, they didn't even update the D1 engine until, like, the point in time in which the previous console generation was no longer being supported because it just couldn't hold the updates. So Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They usually try and make transitions like clean, like that, it seems. So that's why I think pretty much next installment, D, whatever the crap it is, might. But yeah, going by D3 the AMA. If, yeah. Oh, God.
The Mighty Ducks engine.
All right. D online.
But, what was it? Yeah, I think I was done.
No, that's good. I am about done because I'm getting a headache. So, not from you guys. From
sure.
No, I love talking to you all. But
Kingsley's just a boomer. Remember that.
Yes, I'm old and I need to go to bed.
AKA Pops.
Hey, I stayed up late last Friday night and then got up early for me doing a raid. I was up at 7:45 to do a raid.
Holy
on a Saturday. So I was helping
out. I don't want to be up that early ever. I just don't have a choice as a kid.
I don't have that choice because of work.
And what was his Gibbon? Right? But we got him Gibbon his Divinity. It was a Divinity run and it went really smooth and he was not able to be on mic and I was skeptical, but we got it done.
Nice.
So shout out to all of them.
I was going to say, I think I was up to 3 a.m. my time recording for Guardian Down.
Oh, just a couple minutes ago. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the episode. So. All this talk that we're saying is like in the past. But
I know it might actually. I cannot wait to see, like I said, just to see how long it is. And It's definitely probably when I'll have to go back and listen and see what gets in and what like gets the post-credit stinger treatment.
Oh, I guess I'm sure you can't tell us. It's sure it's top secret, but I'm excited to see how well you do on the speed run.
I shall not spoil the results.
And the thing is, as we're recording this right now, it's Sunday night and their episodes often come out later Sunday night. We could have just pushed this back half a day. Oh, well, we will see.
Like I said, I will not spoil the speed run.
Must look alive.
I'll be proud of you either way.
I was about to say, I performed very well. And of course, I had some.
Regardless, so.
I had some weird answers that you could probably tell in the inflection of my voice. Like, why did I just say this? But there's definitely some of that in there.
Well, hopefully you beat Zan.
You'll have to listen to see.
We got at least to have. We have to have the TGA
representing you.
Yeah, we got to be back on top.
If it can't be Sin or I, then it can at least be Des. Oh man. Okay. Well, Azanis, it's been a pleasure having you tonight. It's always great to have a guest on again to the show. Yeah, we'll definitely have you on again in the future. Probably like, you know, a little bit into the season when we've kind of digested all the Gambit changes and see what we're thinking about it.
So this is kind of like the pre-show for Gambit changes. And then once it's out, we'll do the post-show.
Pre-Gambit show.
The post-show, yeah. Well, as we finish up here, if you want to just give the listeners any of your gamer tags, where people can find you, et cetera, et cetera.
Shout out your channel, Mr. Twitch guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Azanis89 on Twitch and PSN, and you can find me as Azanis on Discord as well.
And I love watching your stream. It's fun to see how the Gambit and the Crucible's going. You know I hop in there a lot. So, yeah, everyone check out Azanis.
Check him out. Subscribe to him because he's Twitch affiliate.
Got it. Yeah, I have since I was last on. I have reached affiliate. I currently have 3 subscribers. I need 15 if I'm going to unlock my next emote. Which actually, I found out you can have 3 emotes when you first get. It's just they have to be at tier 1, 2, and 3. So what I'm doing is I have 2 emotes out currently. So the first one is just the default, and then the tier 2 emote, when I get the 15 subscribers, I'll drop it down to a tier 1 and I'll put a new emote in so that people can kind of, if they choose to do the extra tier 2 and they want to break me that way, because I have no clue why anyone would want to do that. But if they chose to, they'd get to have it early, so to speak.
Time gating emotes. You learn well from these companies.
I was going to say more like a sneak preview, so because I get to use the emote no matter what tier it's at. So
yeah, but yeah. Like I said, go hop in his channel, subscribe, do it.
Yes.
Support smaller streamers. I mean, people keep throwing it around, but come on, do it.
I'm always hosting and
doing
smaller streamers when I can. And I actually have a somewhat more regular viewer base, so I can actually start rating people now in Twitch.
Excellent.
That's fun.
Nice.
Nice. yeah, Dez, where can people find you?
You can find me, as always, in the Twitter space at DES_Raven, and I'm always around lurking in the discourse.
Maybe.
Maybe nothing. I'm there. I'm watching conversation. I am that creepy stalker outside your window.
Whoa.
Like, I'm looking in on the conversation, and I'm seeing what's going on.
You're on the outside, and you're looking in?
I was... Oh my god. Touche, you just completely derailed me. But like the Eye of Sauron, I see everything.
Oh wow, yeah. Sen, find some other saying to tick us out. Well, I guess I gotta give my gamer tag too, but
well, I guess you can find me over on twitch.tv/SinMedia, Sin CYN, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Kingsley, you might as well hide behind those curtains and take us out.
Yes, I will definitely hide behind those curtains. You can find me as Kingsley Mac on all the places, including on Twitch, where I just stream occasionally, mostly while I'm raiding. But on Twitter, I am MC Kingsley. You can find our show at our lovely website, theguardianhub.com, which is
the best hub on the net.
There we go. We have it down.
It is .com. Okay. I'll have to remember that better. I might have slipped up and screwed up that plug just a little bit. Because I couldn't remember if it was .com or .net, and I'm sitting there going, crap.
See, I'm old school. I'm always going to go for .com because to me it sounds so professional. But
right?
It's all good. I probably should get .net also because the domains are so cheap these days, so. I'll look into that, Des. Thanks for
reminding me. Basically $1 a month, you can also have .net.
Corner all markets.
Yes. Corner all the markets for the Guardian Hub. The people that are trying to take us over. Hey, if anyone wants to buy us out, we'll consider.
With a hefty payout.
Yes.
Yes.
Bungie, we're listening. If you want us to become the official podcast, you need that name Guardian Hub, right? Because it's just so good that,
it's buttery smooth.
And we would be the official best hub on the net.
Yes. Stamped of approval by Bungie. All right. Well, and be sure to check out our buddies, Guardian Down podcast, Two Titans and a Hunter, and any other podcast you want to check out that's Destiny related. You can check out the website that we maintain called destinypodcasts.com. But we really appreciate you listening to us. Like we said, I don't know why you're listening to us, but you are.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And at that, have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Later, man.
I'm gonna go. Bye. Meow. They all laughed about that.
That was awesome.
I'm getting off, lady. Shut your trap.
She is going to be on it again.
All right, I'll see you guys
Kingsley,
later.
Kingsley, I want my man. Give him back.
Guess what? Perfect timing. You can have him now.
Yeah, he said perfect timing. You can have me now.
Well, I want you
need
now.
To go shower. You're all sweaty from doing all the extra effort over at the neighbors.
Oh, yeah, I did extra effort. Oh,
it's not my fault.
That just sounds way provocative.
Meow. All
right. Kisses. Yeah, you go take your shower. I'll be off. In a minute, okay? I'll see you later.
No.
Have fun, guys.
Meow.
Meow. Dear God. Shut your trap, lady.
So what you're saying is he had to go right meow.
Right meow.
Right meow. Oh, that's good.
So there's so much gold in what just happened.
I know.